via satellite from New York City. I'm Dave Herman, and welcome to our very special evening with you two. We'll spend the next 2 hours with arguably the most influential band of the 90s, and you're going to do the interview. It's brought to you by Budweiser. Nothing beats a Bud. By Sears Craftsman. 1,600 hand tools made in America, guaranteed for life. By Columbia House Music Club. Entertaining America, one person at a time. And by AT&T. So get your questions ready for you too, and call us toll-free in the United States and Canada. 1-800-344-ROCK. That's 1-800-344-7625.
It always bugged me when people called us a new wave band. It always bugged me when people called us a punk band. It always bugged me when people called us anything other than U2. I just feel that, you know, all those descriptions don't work.
In the 12 years since Bono, Adam Clayton, Larry Mullen, and The Edge shifted from the local music scene in their native Dublin into the international spotlight, two factors have remained noticeably consistent. U2's ever-increasing popularity and extremely limited media access to the band. Let's face it, they don't do a lot of interviews. Even rarer still is having the chance to actually ask the band a question of your own. But as I said, this is a very special evening with U2. And in just a few minutes, all four members of the group will be joining me here live to take your calls. But first, since we've also had the pleasure of U2's company in our studio a couple of times in the past, we're going to take a quick look back at the band who put a whole new slant on going to the zoo in America this summer. U2.
This is Ed Sheer. Both the nicknames were, funnily enough, things that carried over from when we were a bit younger, and they're both related to actual physical, visual characteristics. Bono actually looks like the sound of the word Bono, as I look like the sound of the word Edge. So, I mean, they had kind of silly origins, but at this stage they've become so much part of us that it just seemed ridiculous to forget them. I mean, even my mum calls me Edge at this stage, so...
We even call his mum Mrs. Edge. Yeah, you know, you want to ring Mrs. Edge, she sure answers, yeah. She says, yes, this is Mrs. Edge here.
I mean, it's really part of us at this stage.
It was a real culture shock coming here to America, and I enjoyed it very much. I enjoyed coming to this continent, because it's not really a country, it's a continent, America. For a long time, for the Irish people, America was the promised land, if you like, and the new frontier land. And we came here as a band, and we traveled around, and it changed us. I'm glad to say. Some people say, I hope you don't get changed, you know. Hope you don't change, Bono. Well, I hope I do get changed. I hope I'm changed for the better, enriched by the experience of traveling. And from spending a lot of time here playing in concert, it was inevitable that it should come out in the work.
Rock and roll is such an endemic part of America that you can't really, or America is such an endemic part of rock and roll that it's very difficult to actually write material that avoids Americana in one way or another. It's all part and parcel of it. It was invented here.
Yeah, your country is very rich in its rock and roll heritage, if you like. There's so much there. I mean, Elvis Presley, he was the beginning of it all. But even before there, the roots of rock and roll were in gospel. Aretha Franklin, you know, I mean, I grew up on American music, Bob Dylan's music. And the bands I listened to, like The Who and The Beatles, that even came from England, they came over here. They wanted to be here. And you're right, it's just what Adam said. It's part of America. And it infiltrated the music quite without us wanting to. It just did.
I'm Dave Herman with you on the Global Satellite Network for this very special evening with U2. Coming up, your chance to speak with Bono, The Edge, Adam, and Larry. They'll be here to take your calls at 1-800-344-ROCK. Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a moment with more from U2. back on the Global Satellite Network with our very special evening with you two. Hi, I'm Dave Herman. And actually, it's your very special evening with the band. Because in just a very few minutes, Bono, Adam Clayton, Larry Mullen, and The Edge will be joining me here in the studio to take your calls. So get your questions ready and write this number down. 1-800-344-ROCK. 1-800-344-7625. That's the number to call to talk with you two. And this is Bono, the lead singer of that very stable Irish quartet.
The way we approach, you know, the band and the breaking up of the band, you two, is we do it every day. Every day we break up the band, we form it again with the same name and the same people. Because you can't look back and you can't look forward. You got to just live in the present. And you're right, as sometimes you feel, if you feel like a song like Sunday Bloody Sunday, which is a song about peace in our time, in our country, in Ireland, if it's misinterpreted as a rebel song, that can be, you know, you go home and you wonder if it's all worth it. But generally, I think the majority of our audience, we're very proud of the people that come to see you too, and the people who write us letters and stuff. And I think that people do, in the majority, know what we're on about. I think there are a few that misinterpret it, but that's okay too. Just gotta live with that. My interest in Martin Luther King and what he'd done here in the peace movement in the 60s began whilst considering the problems in Northern Ireland in my own country. Because, you know, we're an Irish band, and even though I don't live in Belfast, and though the band live in Dublin, you know, we see that in the border there are people being torn in two by whatever they call it, religion and politics. And I just felt, well, in the 60s over here, when the race relations weren't too good in the US, here was a man, Martin Luther King, who was brave enough not to kill for his cause, but if it came to it, die for it, which he did. And it was tragic. But that's where my interest came from, trying to figure out what would it have been like if Martin Luther King had lived in Belfast, if there was such a man in our country.
I like to use my voice as an instrument, you know? And that's very important. I like the rhythm of words. There's a lot of Irish poetry and things like that that I've drawn on. I really like the rhythm of words, but I think it's very important not to make it sound like a college class, because this is a rock and roll group, and it's a very aggressive rock and roll group. I think it's very important to make this clear. I mentioned sort of silly love songs. I meant kind of just bland, I love you, baby, why don't you love me type love songs, or hey, baby, you want to come down to my place. I mean, that's the sort of songs I'm talking about. You know, I mean, I'm in love, I can tell you right now. I'm unashamedly in love. And this, you know, this comes across in our music. And it's very strong. It's very strong in the song Gloria. The song Gloria, though, is much more than a love song. It's a hymn. It's everything to me. It's a song about not being able to express yourself. I try to stand up, but I can't find my feet. I can't find the words. And it results to Latin because I could not find the words to express myself. We wrote this song in the studio, actually on the microphone, and I was just, it was a really dark time for the group. And, you know, I hadn't got any lyrics. I didn't want to have any lyrics. My lyrics had been stolen on a previous US tour, actually. But we decided to go into the studio and to actually create on the microphone. And I was trying to express myself, the feelings I had inside. And it came out in another language.
Next up on our very special evening with you two, it's your turn to talk with the band. Bono, Larry Mullen, Adam Clayton, and The Edge will be joining me here live in our studio to take your phone calls at 1-800-344-ROCK. So get your questions ready. We'll be right back.